In our series, Where is God? We've answered four questions so far. We've answered, why doesn't God just fix this? Why does God allow me to suffer? Why don't I feel like God cares? And last week, why don't I know God's plan for my life? Today we're talking about the fifth and final question that we'll be talking about. Why does God care about what I believe? Why does God care about what I believe? I went and did a little research about some things that people believe. 80 million Americans, or 36%, believe that UFOs are real. 1 in 10 people say they've personally witnessed an alien spaceship. 79% believe that the government is hiding information from the public about UFOs. 36% believe that aliens have already visited Earth, and 48% said that they're unsure. 55% believe that there are men in black type agents who threaten people who spot UFOs and aliens. Somewhere between 18 to 25% of Americans do not believe that man has stepped on the moon. 61% of Americans believe Osama bin Laden went to hell when he died. In 2002, 8% of people still believed that Elvis was alive. 11% of people were unsure. And 81% of people believed that those who believed Elvis was still alive were crazy. In a worldwide study, only 51% are certain that there is a God. 18% are certain that there is not a God. 51% say that there's an afterlife. 23% say that we simply cease to exist at death. And 26% are unsure. Indonesia has the highest number of people who believe in God at 93%. And India has the highest number of people who believe in multiple gods at 24%. France has got the highest number of people who don't believe in any god of any kind at 39%. Less than 40% of Americans believe in heaven and hell, and worldwide, nearly 25% of those surveyed do not believe in heaven and hell. People believe some weird stuff, and people believe lies, and people believe things that have been told to them. And what is the way to get someone to believe a lie is you just keep repeating it over and over and over again, and eventually people will say, well, you know, it doesn't sound quite so crazy the fourth time you say it. So the question for today is, does God care about what we believe? And the answer is absolutely he cares what we believe. He cares what we believe because we're made in his image, and he desires that all of us would be saved and find salvation in his son, Jesus Christ. And so, yes, even though many people do not believe in a heaven and a hell, the Bible tells us that there is a heaven and a hell. The Bible tells us that there is a consequence, positive or negative, for choosing to follow Christ or to not follow Christ. I want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in your pew Bibles. Grab those out in front of you. Page 1760. Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look and see some things that Paul had to say about salvation and how we are saved. There's lots of questions from people about how are we saved? Is it faith? Is it works? We're going to look at that today in Ephesians 2, page 1760, because God does care about what we believe. And the reason that he cares about what we believe is because it has eternal consequences. Heaven and hell are real places, and he does not desire that any of us go to hell. He wants us all to be with him forever in all eternity in heaven. So Ephesians chapter 2, page 1760, starting in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. So he says, we are all dead before we know Christ. We're spiritually dead to our sins. And we're following the ways of the ruler of this world, and the ruler of this world is Satan. And because we're doing that, because we're following Satan, we do so at our own peril. Verse 3 says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. So again, everyone who is not following Christ is subject to the world and subject to the sinful desires and longings of the flesh. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Now, being dead in our transgressions is meaning to be have a lapse or a fault or an error in judgment. And when it talks about dead, I looked this up and it's talking about a corpse. So when we are living before Christ, we are like a corpse. We are dead to the things that matter. Christ makes us alive. He raises us from the dead. Now I want you to think about this imagery. And when we think about the imagery of the dead becoming alive, I want to go look at talk a little bit about Lazarus. So we're going to jump. Keep your place there, and I'll put the rest of the scripture on here. We're going to jump to John chapter 11 and read a little bit about the story of Lazarus. But we'll come back to Ephesians in a minute. John 11 says, "When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask.'" So Martha is showing great faith here. She believes that Jesus can fix the situation. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." So the power of Jesus' words of "your brother will rise again" have not completely sunk in. She's thinking, well, yes, everyone will rise who's following Christ, will rise again in the last day. She didn't get what Jesus was saying, because Jesus is saying something that is unexpected and something that is not just happening in everyday life. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die." What a powerful statement that Jesus is saying here. Anyone who believes in Jesus will live with him for eternity. And he asks next, "Do you believe this, Martha?" And I ask you now, do you believe this? Do you believe that you will have eternal life if you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life and the truth and the way? "Do you believe this, Martha?" Jesus asked. "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary shows here that she does have faith, but she has no idea what God is capable of doing. She doesn't understand that God is going to perform a miracle here and raise her brother from the dead. And, you know, there's many people that say, well, miracles are gone, there's no more miracles, and it's all medical science and things like that. And I would point to something that just happened this week. By the power of prayer, Ron Strait is sitting here today and can see just one of me instead of seeing two of me. When I visited him at the hospital, he said, "Wow, there's two of you now." And the doctor came in to do this test, and his eyes were rotating around. His iris was literally swirling. And the doctor said, "Wow." He said he came in the next day and he brought in all of these students to come and show them this rare thing that he had never seen before. And he looked in his eyes before he was going to let the students look, and he used an expletive that I won't repeat here because his eyes weren't spinning anymore. His eyes were not spinning anymore. His vision was actually improving. And the doctor said, "I don't know why this is happening. This is supposed to be non-reversible. This should not be getting better." And yet today, Ron is here. He sees one of me, which that's really good. And he can see, he can drive. He says that his vision is almost back to what it was. And now we could say, well, it was just going to happen that way anyway. But no, we went to our knees, we prayed, and God has healed his eyes for the time. Do you believe that? Prayer matters. Prayer matters, and prayer works. Some people say, oh, well, it's just a coincidence. It would have happened anyways. But that's not what Scripture tells us. Scripture says to pray, and God will answer our prayers. Now, God could have chosen to not answer that prayer of healing, but praise the Lord that He did. Praise God that He did. And when Jesus says to Mary here, I'm going to do something crazy, she doesn't even know about what's going to happen. And in verse 33, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? He asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, see how much he loved them. Him. Jesus loved his friend, and he showed that emotion. He cares about us that much that when he sees us in pain, he is also in pain. He shares with us that pain. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told them. Roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested. Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. 4 days in the tomb, no embalming, no any of that kind of stuff. Just in the tomb, this thing is going to stink. Okay? Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I say it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they will believe that you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine the suspense of that moment for people standing around? And the closest thing that I could think of was like American Idol, you know? It's like, and we'll find out right after this who's get voted off. Thankfully, Jesus didn't call for a commercial break. And this was something that happened instantaneously. But can you build up that excitement? You know, Jesus is angry. He's running to the tomb. He's crying with his friends because he's sad for their loss. And he runs to the tomb. He says, move the stone. And Lazarus, come out. And what happened? Lazarus came out. And the dead man came out, his hand and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus said, unwrap him and let him go. Unwrap him and let's go. Jesus isn't surprised at what happened. He's like, okay, Lazarus is up, let's go. We got things to do. Now, when it comes to our lives, we can either choose to stay in the tomb, stay in the smelly clothes, stay in that stench of death, or when Jesus calls us and said, come out of the tomb, we can choose to come out of the tomb. We can choose to follow Christ. And now let's jump back into Ephesians 2 in verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ, just like he raised Lazarus from the dead, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. What did Lazarus have to do in order to be raised from the dead? He had to walk out of the tomb. That was it. He didn't do anything else other than obey Christ's voice and come out of the tomb. Did Lazarus deserve to be raised from the dead? No. Do any of us deserve to be saved? No. God gives us grace. Grace is earning a consequence and then someone else paying for that consequence in your place. So you got in trouble with your sin. And instead of making you pay the consequence for your sin, God says Jesus came and paid that price for your sin. The punishment for our sin, if we pay for it ourselves, is eternal death, eternal damnation. But Jesus paid that price. And what do we have to do to receive that gift? We have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to have biblical belief and faith that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. And when we have that faith, we are saved. But now, what is the faith of Scripture? The faith of Scripture is not just saying, I believe. The faith of Scripture brings with it action. In James chapter 2, it says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So when you say you have faith, you should be seeing fruit of that faith. You should be living life differently because of that faith. When you believe in Christ, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your life necessarily changes. If your life is not changing because of your faith in Christ, then you really need to examine that. Really examine yourself. Do I have that faith? Because life-changing faith comes with following Jesus. And our faith saves us. James goes on to say that even the demons believe that God is one, that God is who he says he is. But that doesn't produce salvation for the demons. See, there has to be an assent, to mental assent, to believe that, and then there needs to be an outflowing of that. There was a man who pushed a wheelbarrow across a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he pushed a wheelbarrow across, and everyone cheered when he got done. And then he said, do you believe that I can do it again? And they all said, yes, we believe. And then he said, who wants to ride in the wheelbarrow? There's a difference between believing that he can do it and actually getting in the wheelbarrow. If we have a false faith, if we have a faith that does not change us, if we do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then our consequence is hell. Now there's an email that I want to share with you. This was a man and a wife. They were getting ready to go on vacation. And it was in the middle of the winter, and they lived in a cold, cold place, so they were going to Florida. And somehow they got separated, and so the man was going to get there a day or two before. So he sends her an email back, but he sends it to the wrong email address. And in Houston, a woman who just came back from her husband's funeral, who happened to be a minister, checked her email and fainted. Her son came in to see what happened to this woman that she fainted, and this is the email that she received. To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you're allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. It sure is hot down here. Hell is a real place. Hell is not just a resort that you can lay back and lounge around. is described as eternal fire. It is described as having ongoing pain and punishment. It says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Literally, that means that you're going to be having fits of envy, rage, and pain. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth causes pain and rage. And that's for all eternity. Yet if you do not believe in Jesus, that is your fate. Eternal damnation to hell. And we don't like to talk about that sometimes, do we? It makes people uncomfortable. Well, you can't say that people that don't believe are going to hell. And you're right, I can't, because I'm not the judge. But Scripture tells us that those of us who choose to not follow Christ will face eternal damnation. That's the destiny of those who do not believe in Jesus. That is the destiny of those who choose to stay in the tomb when Jesus calls out to them. Now, on the other hand, if you come out of the tomb when Jesus calls you, you're taken to eternal heaven and eternal life with Jesus, where Jesus says there will be no tears, there will be no sadness, there will be no death, there will be no pain, because Jesus Christ erases those things. Revelation describes heaven as having thrones of gems and emeralds and a crystal sea and streets of gold. And we'll have firsthand experience of worshiping Jesus. The pains of hell are sharply contrasted with the joy of heaven. And Jesus, at the church of Laodicea, he says, I stand at the door and knocks. Who will open the door and let me in to your heart? Jesus is standing at the tomb saying, Lazarus, come out. And when Jesus calls your name and says, come out of your tomb, will you come? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that God cares about what you believe? Because He does. He cares that you believe that He's the Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because He doesn't desire anyone to go to hell. He desires everyone to spend eternity with God. When Jesus stands out in front of the tomb and says, come forth, are you going to stay in the tomb? Or are you going to come forth and say, get these things off me, let's go.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.